All right, did we dismiss Children's Church? If not, you're free to go. You're going to miss something really good, though, so I'm sorry about that. All right. I trust you, I trust you looked at the words and followed them along through. In light of what I'm going to share with you this morning, I want you to think about this gentle shepherd concept for just a minute. Do you really honest-to-goodnessly believe that you're a sheep? Do you? He's our good shepherd. We talk about this all the time. We talk about Jesus being the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, you know, and we're the sheep. And, of course, he's the shepherd with the sheep that makes us, like, really, really low and nothing, okay? You believe that? Or do you just say it? Do we really believe that if it wasn't for the shepherd, we'd be in really, 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 really bad trouble? We'd be in all kinds of dangers. Wouldn't have any idea where to go or what to do. Do we really, honest to goodnessly believe that we're sheep that needs a shepherd? All right. Because I'm going to ask you, if you're really honest to goodnessly believe that you're a little child that needs a daddy. We've been studying prayer for some time, and it's kind of built up to this particular place as far as I'm concerned. A week or so ago, it's like I've thought about this before. I can't say I've never thought about it, but a week or so ago, it finally sunk in, like the little lights came on, bells and whistles and all the rest, and I realized that my relationship with God has not been a little child with a father. It has not been. I've been taught my whole life the opposite. Grow up. Be a man. Make your decisions. I've been taught the absolute opposite. And I believe the only way we can really have a relationship with God, the only way we can really fellowship with Him, the only way we can really pray is if we become little children. And it's against sort of our human nature. But I want to show you enough things, hopefully enough things, that somehow in our spirits, I'm not telling you to be, you know, suck your thumb and, you know, and get baby bottles and stuff like that. But as far as spiritually is concerned and our relationship with God, we got to realize that without Him we can do nothing. And I'm going to give you a little bit better than a baby status. I mean, a baby status is... What does a baby do without mom and dad? Nothing. They need mom and dad for everything. I'm going to give you a little higher status than that, but it's still a little kid, and I'm going to be... When I talk about little children, I really am targeting like age 3 to 6. If you get older than 6, I don't like you very much. Okay, so... I want you to think about this as we... Even as we do some review, because even I'm going to go back again, everything we've talked about so far makes so much more sense if God is our Father and we are little children. When we think of ourselves as something more than that, we mess ourselves up. Jesus wanted the temple to be a house of prayer. And so he threw out the money changers and he said, open it up to the blind, the lame, and the sick. And even in that passage, He opened it up to the children. Let the children come into the temple. They have perfect praise. The church, the temple, should be full of needy people who are praying urgently for help, full of people with childlike faith and thankful hearts. Prayer should include urgency, passion, desire, honesty, and key word throughout this entire message is going to be humility. Again, for you to figure yourself and even picture yourself as a little child involves humility. You can't do it any other way. You can't do it any other way. Spending time with God, more important than food. That's what fasting is all about. We talked about giving and praying and fasting, not for the public eye, not for earthly credit, not for the trumpet, not for secret, but we do these things so we can spend time with our Father, so we can spend time with Him. We need to do these things. We need to have a relationship. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our information. God doesn't need His arm twisted to help us. Prayer doesn't work if we don't ask. Prayer won't work if we're selfish. And sometimes we still don't get what we want, even though we do everything right. And again, another puzzle for me, an amazement for me in this study is the fact that how many Bible examples there are of unanswered prayer. We somehow automatically assume, oh, these are great Bible guys. Moses had all of his prayers answered, and David had every one of his prayers answered, and then, because these are men of God, and Abraham had all of his prayers answered. No, I'm going to think that they were batting pretty much the same score that we get. You know, a lot of prayers didn't get answered. Prayer helps us understand what's going on with God. Prayer changes us. And again, when there's a tragedy or a problem or a difficulty in our life, we get bitter or we get better. We either slam the door in God's face and say, I'm done. I've had it with this stuff. Or we run to Him and say, Daddy, please help. We either get closer to Him or we slam the door in His face. Prayer is for us to learn, not just for us to talk to God, but for God to talk to us. Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh to go away. And after prayer, he comes to the conclusion, it's for my good. I take pleasure in weakness because it shows how awesome God is. David prayed for the little baby to live. And the baby died, and David worshiped God. Jesus prayed for the cup to pass. And God said, no, it's yours. But he had victory over the devil. He had calming of his soul. He is not going to fight the enemy. He has a meek and a quiet spirit. And he's reviled, but reviles not again. He was ready for the cross. Joseph says, let me out, let me out, let me out of Egypt, let me out of prison. And finally, after prayer and time, God meant it for good. Well, the two things I'm going to share with you are so profound, it'll knock your socks off. I had a lady that I worked with when I first kind of worked in administration with a Christian school. She had started this Christian school in Port St. Joe, Florida. And she had worked in it from kindergarten, first grade, second grade, each year adding a grade. And then I came along and she basically handed all the keys over to me. But she was kind of a backseat driver sometimes. But one of the phrases she would use all the time, you know, when I call people snorts, one of the phrases she would use is, that knocks my socks off. Or she always said, it rots my socks. She said, it rots my socks. And so this idea, two things I want you to think about, and they're just so profound that it's incredible. God is our Father, and we are little children. God is our Father. We are little children. Let's go all the way back to the model prayer. This is the manner in which you should pray. Remember that? How does it start out? Our, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God wants us to know God is our Father. He wants us to know that He is holy. He wants us to submit to His authority. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily. He wants us to rely on Him for daily provision. What does a dad do? What does a dad want? He is our Father. He is, you know, God, of course, is holy. He wants us to submit to His authority. And He wants us to rely on Him. A whole bunch of passages I'd like to walk through with you about God being our Father. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth, the word pitieth has compassion upon. In the same manner in which a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear Him. He knows us. He understands us. He knows that we're made of dust. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Next. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Okay. We're called children. It's kind of an interesting thing, and it's somewhat unrelated, but things like this pop into my head all the time. Moses led the children of Israel. Okay, I get the fact that they're descendants of Jacob and all this kind of stuff and the 12 tribes and stuff, but they're called children the whole time. And of course, we might even say, they behaved like children. No, they really didn't. They behaved like teenagers. All right, we'll talk more about that later, okay? Psalm 103, and as a father has compassion, he knows all about us. He is merciful. He will always do what's right. That's what we just looked at, all right? Look at this one. Do you remember we talked about Gethsemane? We talked a lot last week about Gethsemane and Jesus fighting with the devil and the serpent and bruising the serpent's head and bruising the Messiah's heel and all the struggle, the agony, the blood and the sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the book of Mark, you know how he prayed? Mark recalls it as, and Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He prayed to God. Remember, we talked about it. He prayed to God a prayer that he knew was not going to be answered. It's like, he is God. So he knows that I'm asking for this cup to pass from me when he knows the answer is no. He's praying a prayer that he knows the answer is going to be no. But he prays, Abba, Father. The word literally means Father, Father, or dear, precious Father. Or Daddy. Daddy. I can never remember a time when I called my father, Father. Okay? The only time I called my father, Father was when I had to fill in a blank where he said, who's your father? Okay? And I'd put his name in there, all right? But I never said, oh, Father, my request is that we have, chicken for supper. Now, I never approached my dad, never called my dad Father. Okay? Never, ever. We didn't have enough money for that. My dad was always Daddy until I got bigger, and then he's Dad. And again, what I'm sharing with you this morning, I don't want us ever to call him Dad. I don't want you to get big enough where you call God Dad. Stick with the Daddy part. Don't get any bigger than Daddy. Called him Dad. Never called him Fred. That's why I'm still here. My father was same name as mine, but Abba Father. Oh, by the way, interesting sidelight. Barabbas, you familiar with who Barabbas is? He's the guy that got pardoned while Jesus was being, took Jesus' place. We'll release Barabbas. Okay, fine. Crucify Jesus, release Barabbas. Right in the middle of Barabbas' name, Bar means son of, there's Abba. Bar Abbas, okay? So it literally means the son of my daddy. He's not so tough after all, is he? Okay? Never mind. Okay. Barabbas was a tough thief, murderer. Okay, never mind. All right, anyways, I want you to know the Abba part. I want you to know the Abba, daddy, daddy, daddy. Look at the next one. Romans 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. Talks about the fact that we're like adopted children. And we cry, Daddy. We cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the word there, children, is small children. The first one where it says sons of God is our standing because of inheritance. We have a standing because he's the father. We're going to inherit because we're the sons. This word is small children. We are the small children of God. And if we're small children, though, we still are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Abba, Father. This next one. Again, something I haven't seen until I look closer. Galatians chapter 4. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God has sent forth the Spirit of His... What is the Spirit of His Son? How did His Son pray to the Father? How did Jesus pray to God? Jesus prayed to God, Daddy. And He's put that Spirit in us. That's the Spirit we're supposed to have. Send forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts so that we would cry, Abba, Father. We're not servants. We're His Son. We're children. And of a Son, then we're heir through Christ. Spirit of His Son and the Father, this is how Jesus talks to His dad. Next. Passage we looked at in Matthew chapter 6. Giving, praying, fasting. Every single time, whether it's giving, praying, or fasting, it's your Father. It's your Father. Let thy alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. We give so that the Father sees and the Father knows. The next one. When you pray, enter in your closet, and when thou hast prayed, shut the door. Pray to your Father, which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we're to give to the Father. We're supposed to pray to the Father. Let's try the last one. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you need of before you ask. And again, does my daddy need my money? I needed the money my kids had. I gave them allowance and took it back because we needed it. But they never had trouble keeping records. They always, you know, they always knew what I owed them. Okay, but in reality, daddy doesn't need my money. Daddy doesn't need the information. Next. If you, being not so perfect as humans, if you know how to do good gifts for your kids, if you know how to treat your children well and give them good gifts, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? If you occasionally know how to be a good daddy, God's pretty good at this all the time. Okay? Next. Even in Corinthians, Paul writes, He will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. You're my children, says God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Love. Love. He's a Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father. Never lose sight of the fact that He is our Father. Never lose sight of the fact that we are children. We are children. We are children. Let's see if we get to the Matthew passage, see if that's next. Yes. Matthew chapter 18 says, At the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them, and He set him in the midst of them. And He said, Verily I say unto you, unless you be converted, unless you turn around, and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Basically says you have to have faith as a little child. Faith as a little child. We worry sometimes, or are concerned. I guess worry is not the right word, but we're concerned with our young kids that we have in kindergarten and our young Sunday school classes and things like that. We talk to them about salvation and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And almost always, you know, yes, I want to do that. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And if my teacher wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. You know, and so we want to make sure it's real and it's something that they come up with and not something they're just doing to make the teacher happy or whatever. But they have such willing hearts and they have such faithful hearts. We talk about the fact that the kindergarten class for years and years and years, every single day, every single time they were scheduled to go to Binder Park Zoo. Rain, thunderstorms, rain, thunderstorms, rain, thunderstorms. And the little kids prayed. And it did, rain and thunderstorms, as soon as they got in the bus to come home. The faith of a little kid. I can tell you, again, figuring out the age that I'm talking about, with my grandkids. We're playing a game, and they have some food, and I'm going to distract them and steal some of their food. And I'll say, Ava, look at that big spider on the floor. Food's gone, okay? Why does she look? Well, my papa said so. He's not going to lie. I believe him, okay? And you know what? She falls for it every single time. Why? Because my papa wouldn't lie to me, and, you know, even when she doesn't, oh, you stole my food, okay, she'll fall for it again and again and again, okay? But then finally they get to be old enough where they're like, I'm not looking. You know, they could get eaten by the spider, but I'm not looking. I'm not going to look because I know it's not really there, okay? Okay, don't get that old, okay? Stay childlike faith. Childlike faith. Notice, God is our perfect God. This is another problem that we have. Our dads aren't perfect. And so when sometimes we look at this father thing and go like, we think of our dad, and we think, okay, well, I hope God's not like my dad, okay? Just to set the stage, I will tell you that my perspective from where I am right this very second is I had a great dad. I'm very proud of my dad, very pleased in the way he brought me up. I have no complaints. I had lots of complaints when I was a kid. No complaints as a 64-year-old guy, okay? My dad did a great job. However, foreign to some of your thought processes is my father. I played baseball from age 8 to 18. My father never went to one of my baseball games. Never once did my dad see me play baseball. Never once. In his mind, in his world, it was the kids are going off to play. We men work. Kids play. Go play, have a nice time. And by the way, it wasn't just my dad. Almost no one's dad went unless he was the coach. The coach went, and his boy got to start and play shortstop and all, you know, pitch. And, all right, but nobody else's dad was there. My dad didn't go. My mom didn't go. My grandparents were the only ones who saw me. My dad never hugged me that I know of. I'm sure when a baby, he probably held me, but I don't remember any. I have no cognitive recollection of dad hugging me. I got a firm handshake, son. That's a good job. I'm proud of you. That was good, and that was awesome, by the way, when you did it. That didn't happen very often either, okay? But a firm handshake was, like, good. I don't remember dad saying, I love you. Mom did lots and lots and lots of times, but dad was like, no, we don't do that. I knew he did love me, and I, like I said, I think he's awesome and so forth, but it wasn't something that dads do back then. Now, we've got a lot, we're a lot different now, and I'm way different, even as far as grandparents are concerned. I hope I'm a way better grandparent. My grandparents were awesome as well. But it was like the kids are in one room and we're in another. Or the adults are in another room and the kids are in one room. And it's like, you know, don't disturb the adults. We're talking, we're visiting. You know, you kids go do something, just don't blow the house up, you know. And so it was like, you know, you're to be seen and not heard. And I hope I'm a different granddad than that. I want to hold the kids and I want to play with them and I want to hug them and I want to love them and all the rest. We have as dads, and I don't want to exclude the moms because some of these things, sometimes the dads push these things to mom. It's mom's job to be loving and hugging and slobbery and help them and so forth. My daughter still, she's 40 years old. She'll call on the phone with a whiny voice, oh, daddy, and I'm like, I'll get your mother, just a minute. It's like, man, I don't want to mess with, I'm not messing with this, okay? And so we push it off, you know, because they're a lot more compassionate. And sometimes we men have moments of greatness. We do. There's times where like we are the perfect dad. You hugged at just the right time. You were there exactly when the kid needed you. You helped and you were like absolutely perfect. Don't have a lot of those moments, but we do have some, okay? I want you to go beyond that. I want you to think of a perfect dad. Because God is the perfect father. Now again, when we start measuring up to the perfect father, we really stink. I will never do this on a Father's Day message, I promise you, okay? Because it's really, really bad. But God is a perfect father. And so, again, I want you to see this picture. When we look at this, go ahead, next one. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Now, my dad didn't know everything. I thought he did till I got older again. When I was little, I thought my dad knew everything. And there's that stupid teenagers again. I'm pretty sure dad doesn't know anything. Okay. And so what's the problem? Dad hasn't changed at all. It's me. I'm growing up. Don't grow up. God always knows everything. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows it all. He's got it all down. Next. He's holy. He has no selfish motive. What he's doing is he's doing it for us. There's nothing about him that is self-serving. This is not a selfish motive. He is holy, holy. Everything is a pure motive. Everything is sincere and without offense. Everything is above board. Never one time. You know, now we as daddies sometimes might, you know, cuddle the little one so that mom goes, "Oh, that's so sweet," you know, so we get points with mom. Okay? God has no selfish motive for any of this. He's holy. He's just. He's going to do what's right every single time. Again, dads, we got a problem with that. We can't be right every time. I do torment my children by telling them that, you know, I hate to be right, you know, all the time. And they go like, "Oh," you know. And the fact is, we're not right all the time. God is right every single time. Every single thing he does is right. He's love. And again, he wants the best for us. He wants the absolute best for us. For the one that is loved. And again, as a father, is that not what you want for your kids? And part of love, too, is this whole concept of love is, it means I don't say yes to everything. And it's like when we hurt, he hurts. One of the weirdest feelings, I'm going to tell you the story a little bit later, but one of the weirdest feelings I've ever had is when my granddaughter, she was hurt very badly. She was in a bicycle accident, and she was hurt very severely, had a huge gash in her head where you could see the bone in her head, and there was blood absolutely everywhere, and we're in the middle of, you know, Pokemon State Park. Pokagon, I know the difference, okay. And my heart was killing me because my son was hurting. It wasn't just my granddaughter's hurt, and it was killing me for that as well. But it was like my son's hurting because his daughter's hurting. It's like, this isn't fair. This is like double whammy. And so, if a God's like, when we hurt, he hurts. He knows this. He's truth. He cannot lie. Cannot lie. Cannot promise us something that he's not going to fulfill. Sometimes daddies do that. Oh, you know, we'll go get ice cream later, you know, and forgot about the ice cream. Unless, of course, there really are little children and they won't let you forget. He's free. He's free to do as he pleases. Another thing about God, sometimes you and I can't fix stuff. We're dads and we can't fix it. God could fix it all. Every single problem we bring to him, he could fix it. But he chooses not to sometimes. He chooses not to because somehow it's like in our overall best interest not to fix it. Oh, good. All right. He's omnipotent, capable of all powerful. He's infinite. He will always be there. That's another one. Like sometimes dads are accused of, well, you just weren't there. You're working all the time and all the rest. And God's always there. He's a dad who is like always, 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 always there. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's immutable. He never changes. He's always present. Whenever you need him, he's always there. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. Now let's look back just a little bit. We need to come as a young child. I said prayer was an urgency, right? Urgency. As a dad, if your kid comes running to you with crying or a scared look on their face, what does that tell you? Oh no, here they come. I gotta go hide. No, it's like you run to them. Because, I mean, they're running to you, you run to them. It's like, there's an urgency here. There's something that has to happen. My son Brian told me one time, he came flying in the house. He goes, Dad, the woods are on fire. We need to call 911. And I'm like, how did that happen? He says, well, we got a campfire that got out of control. The woods are on fire. And I'm like, son, you're overreacting. Okay, let me go see. I walked out the house. I went, holy cow, let's call 911. It's like, this is crazy. This is insane. If there's a sense of urgency, you need to respond. And urgency in prayer, I really, really need you, Daddy. I really, really need you now. A passion. Please, 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 Daddy. Please, Daddy. Please, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Please, Daddy. A desire. I really, really want. An honesty. Again, little kids, they tell you what they think. Your breath smells. You stink. There's an honesty. It's like, and a humility. And again, just automatically, the fact that they're little guys. Humility. We're at the bottom of the food chain, you know. And this is where we have the trouble again. Men especially. Again, back to my dad. My dad told me, I cannot tell you how many times, he said, son, when are you ever going to grow up? I mean, if I heard that once, oh my goodness. And I'd like my dad to be alive, so I said, I'm growing up, Dad, sorry. You know. When are you gonna, all you want to do is play. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? That's why I love this message. Don't grow up. Don't ever grow up. Don't ever. We're taught that we're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to mature. We're supposed to be able to handle things on our own. That's not humility. Humility is, if I think I can do it, if I think I can handle it, if I think there's no problem, then I don't need God. And that's not humility. Compared to God, we are weak. We need help. It's opposite of humanity. Humility is stay a little child. My dad doesn't need the money. Oh, Dad says we're going to Florida vacation. I get my piggy bank and I give him $2.67. Will that help? Not much. But thanks for wanting to help. Thanks for having an interest. Prayer, my dad already knows. My daddy doesn't need his arm twisted. He wants what's best for me. He wants to give me the best. Again, it doesn't work if we don't ask. Remember a time my dad was very, very mechanical. I got 1.2% mechanical genes. My dad was very mechanical. I was trying to put a bicycle together that had been, we had torn it completely apart, and I was trying to put it back together. He walked by me on no more than two or three occasions going, son, do you need some help? Nope, I got it. In my little brain, it's like, I really do need help, but it's like, I don't want to admit this. I want to be able to prove that I can do this on my own. And after about four times and about 45 minutes later, Dad, can you help? You know what's interesting? My dad wasn't going to help until I asked. You think you can do it? I'll let you have at it. Until we have not because we ask not. Another story, my granddaughter Ava, and this one, scraggly old nasty cat we found outside of our house. Black, sickly, just didn't want to bring it in the house because it's like it's got disease written all over this cat, okay? It was just ugly as all get out. She named it Spooky because it was all black. And for 3 days, my wife tried to revive this thing. We got it milk. We got it a blanket. We put its face in the milk trying to get it to drink, just trying to revive this stupid, sorry, lost cause of a cat. Well, sure enough, Ava was staying with us, and sure enough, we found it in the flower bed, dead cat. And I thought, well, she's going to be devastated over the dead cat. She said, Papa, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're going to have to bury the cat. She says, okay. I said, what we'll do, honey, we'll get a big rock. We got stencils, and we put Spooky on the, stenciled it on the big rock. And I said, we're going to take it out in the back, and we're going to dig a hole, and we're going to put Spooky in. And I said, I'll take care of it. And she goes, no, can I go with you? I'm like, what's wrong with you? You're a little girl. Okay. And she says, can I go with you? I said, yes. So she walked out with me. And she says, can I help dig the hole? And I'm like, okay. You know, I thought she's going to be heartbroken over this cat. And she went, helped dug the hole. We put Spooky in the hole. We put the dirt over. She helped cover it all up. She's walking side by side with me like there's no big deal. She walks in the house. She sees Nana. And she starts bawling like a kid. I mean, she's like, no, Spooky's dead. And I'm like, what? She desperately needed a hug. But she didn't show any signs like she needed it. So, I'm not hugging her. She's, oh, we're digging a hole and you're helping, you know. And the second she walked in the house, I'm like, oh, good, she's a girl. I'm like, phew. had me scared for a little bit, but it was like, it's like, when we cry, then they need a hug. We have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. What's interesting, what do we want from our Father? All that stuff that God is, that's what we want. And by the way, we want way more from Him than He wants from us. You know what God wants from us? Again, let's go back. What does a dad want from his little 3 to 5 year old, 6 year old kid? What does a dad want from a 3 year old? I'd like you to listen to me. I'd like you to obey. Because if I'm telling you something, it's for your own safety. It's for your own good. You know, there's a reason we don't put screwdrivers in light sockets. There's a reason I don't want you to touch the stove. There's a reason I don't want you to get near the road. There's a reason you don't run with scissors. There's a reason you don't eat the plants. And by the way, I've said all of those things. I want you to obey me. I want you to listen to what I say. Please obey. Please listen to me. It's for your own good. Do you understand that every single one of God's laws and God's rules that are in here for you and I is because we're kids and we're too dumb to know that this is stuff we're not supposed to do unless He tells us. And it's for our own good. I want you to obey me. Because sometimes we don't see the danger. What else does a dad want? A dad wants respect. And part of this is the humility. What daddy says is important. My daddy said, my daddy said, my daddy. You get a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. My daddy said, my daddy said, my daddy said. They can start going to school and it's like, well, my teacher said. Okay? All right? My daddy said. They look up to Him. My daddy can do anything. He's the best. My daddy's awesome. I want to know how to do something. I ask my daddy. Respect. Love. That's what daddies want from the kids is love. There isn't anything better on this planet than to walk into the house and hear this little voice, Daddy's home. There is nothing better on the planet. Unless the kids have gotten into mess or trouble or something. But this is good stuff. Can't wait to see you, Dad. Daddy's home. I want to hug Daddy. I delight in Daddy. I want to spend time with Daddy. It's glad to see him. I want to sit on his laps. I run to Daddy with arms like this. Now I have a stupid dog that does that. Okay. A father wants 3 and 4 and 5 year olds to obey, to respect, to love, and to depend on them. He wants them to depend on him. Cannot do this alone. Wants daddy's help. I've shared this one with you before, but this is my classic for my daughter. She's like, Daddy, can you open this pickle jar? And I try, and I kind of struggle with it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to go get something. I need to get a little something to pry up this lid to get a little bit more leverage. And while I'm doing this, she grabs the jar, and I said, where are you going? She says, I'm going next door to Mr. Gandhi. He can open it. And I'm like, you take one more step. Okay. I'm the daddy. If I have to break this jar, we're getting those pickles, okay? It is not going next door, okay? It is not going next door. My daddy can't open this. Can you open this? That's not happening, okay? That is not ever, ever, ever happening. A dad wants a kid to depend on him. I need you. Someone to tell my troubles to. I'm afraid. Can I lay down with you? Can I sleep with you? Fortunately, we trained our kids to go to the mom's side of the bed. I'm scared. I can't do it. I need someone to confide in, to depend on. And totally, honest to goodness, totally by accident. Obedience, respect, love, and depend. Let's switch them around just a hair, and you end up with love, Lord, and Lord is what you end up with. Love, obedience, respect, and depend. What does a father want from us? Could also put, Dad wants us to care about our siblings. I don't know how many times my wife and I have had the conversation with our kids that these are your brothers and sisters. Okay, you are supposed to love your brother and your sister. You're supposed to care about them. Friends will come and go. You're stuck with this sister forever. You're stuck with this brother forever. You need to get along with each other. What does a mom and dad want? They want their kids to get along with each other. What on earth do you think God wants for us? To care enough about each other. Again, another that same illustration I used before. My granddaughter Allie was riding her bike down a path that was supposed to be a hiking path in Pokemon. And lost control, went face first into an uprooted tree. Okay, all the roots of the tree were, and she just went face first in this uprooted tree. And it was horrible to watch and horrible to see all of it. Her cousin, little Ava, at that time was 3 years old, okay? Ava was crying her eyes out. She wasn't hurt, but Allie's hurt. She's crying because Allie's hurt. She loved her cousin so much, and it was her that we had to console. She's crying because my cousin's hurt, and she's hurt really bad. That's how you and I are supposed to come to God. That's how we're supposed to come to the Father about our friends, our brothers, our sisters. Dear God, I hate it that so-and-so's hurting. God, can you comfort them? Can you hug them? Can you help them feel better? Please, God. I care enough about them. I love them so much. Please make them feel better. We have to be little kids. We have to have a heart that believes that our God can do anything because he can. We cannot grow up. We have to have a concern for each other. Again, Sam is 13. He's a big boy. He's a wrestler now. Well, what I'm going to do with the wrestling match is I'm going to go down there on the floor, and I'm going to give a big hug, tell him I love him, do your best you can, son. He'd die right there. He'd drop over dead. He would drop over dead. And even when he comes to my house, it's like, hi, how you doing? He knows what's coming. The other ones are like, hey, Papa, good to see you. And he's like, man, how you doing? Man, he desperately, 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 desperately wants me to hug him. But I think I'm too big for that. Please, 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 please. Never, ever get too big to allow God to hug you. To come to him. I don't care what people think. Little guys don't care. They run into mommy and daddy's arms. They don't care what anybody thinks. They don't have any peer pressure in regards to this. Little kids don't care. You make whatever you want to make as far as analogies are concerned. But I think prayer is a little child coming to daddy. And sometimes it's just telling daddy what took place today. Hey, daddy, you know, I found a turtle. Now, the real human daddies go like, oh, wow, that's cool. Our heavenly daddy thinks it's awesome that we're talking to him. We give gifts. We work hard to do stuff for our daddy. It looks like kindergarten projects for Mother's Day and Father's Day. But our daddy loves it because we went to the trouble of, I want to please daddy. I want to give something to daddy. I want to show daddy how much I love him and how much I care. It is hard. And I'm telling you from the very start, this is something that's hard, hard, hard for me to do. I'm independent. I'm grown up. I'm in charge of all these kind of things. I can't be a little kid. But I have to be. I have to be if I'm going to have a relationship with God. If I'm going to pray and talk to him. If I'm going to pour out my heart in honesty to him. I'm going to humble myself to be a little child. It's the only way. Bigger than that, though. Okay. 3 to 6. Don't grow up. Don't ever grow up. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to understand the father-child relationship that you have with us. Help us to understand humility. Help us to understand dependence and obedience and respect and love. May we love you as a little child loves his or her mom and dad. May we obey you, knowing that you know what's absolute best for us. May we respect you, because you're so awesome. And may we depend on you for absolutely everything. Pray this in Jesus' name.